Hi, everyone, and welcome to the SRHM podcast. My name is Nina Sun, and I am an associate editor for the SRHM Journal. Welcome to another editor's summary episode, bringing you the latest research, viewpoints, and review articles appearing in the SRHM Journal. In this episode, I speak to Sundari Ravindran, senior editor of the SRHM Journal, about a recently published issue entitled Donor Funding for SRHR Advocacy. Sundari was instrumental in bringing this issue to fruition and wrote the editorial. Sundari, can I ask you, why was it important for SRHM to publish on this topic?
Well, this issue comes at a time when sexual and reproductive rights are under threat from restrictive laws and policies and the ultra-conservative mobilization against gender ideology. And this is a time when we need a resilient SRHR movement that fights back to regain the little ground that we have gained since ICPD. And for a resilient movement, a strong movement, adequate funding is a prerequisite. But when we look at what is known about funding for SRHR advocacy, we realize that there is very little published information on the sources of funding, the extent of funding, and the nature of funding for SRHR advocacy, and especially movement building from down below. And the articles in this special issue are actually a first attempt at presenting the perspectives of advocates and donors on what's going on about funding for SRHR advocacy and movement building.
From the papers in this issue, what specific findings stood out to you personally?
That's a difficult question to answer because I am quite excited about a number of papers in this issue. For example, there are some papers that present a picture of the lay of the land, what the funding landscape is about. There's an article by Alex LeMay from Amplified Change. Amplified Change is a co-sponsor of this journal issue. And Alex reports on a study that explores the funding sources for SRHR advocacy that their low and middle income country partners rely on. For the first time, in fact, beyond anecdotes, you find some hard data, albeit very limited, to Amplify Change's partners. And what we suspected turns out to be true, that the funding scenario is very bleak, with a vast majority are dependent on grant funding from high-income country donors. And many advocacy groups have tried to raise alternative funding, but the going is difficult because, among other things, the skill sets needed for activism and advocacy and for running income generation projects are often very different. And also, you know, the demands on an advocate's time cannot afford to be divided into also raising money to keep their work going. So that's one paper. The paper by Lisa Lamont Adams tells you how things are even worse for intersectional activism. She has written this paper on the perspectives of activists with disabilities from the Global South. And she highlights the lack of prioritization given to disability by SRHR donors and the SRHR movement. On the other hand, the disability movement does not prioritize SRHR either. So you get a from the ground feel of how difficult the going is. But the interesting thing is that there are constructive suggestions from activists working in the Global South to donors for more equitable allocation of resources for advocacy. So those are about what's happening in the funding scenario. Another paper happened by chance. We were looking for a paper that would talk about how to evaluate or how to assess progress in advocacy and movement building, because many donors present this as a major challenge. They are used to funding time-bound projects where specific outputs and outcomes can be shown. But advocacy activities are dynamic, they are uncertain, and they are long-term. So how do you know that the money you're investing is being used well? A paper on this was very difficult to come by, and then by chance, we discovered that Reproductive Health Matters, the earlier avatar of SRHM, had actually published a paper on exactly this topic in 2011. Barbara Klugman, who's a feminist evaluator and SRHR advocate from South Africa, had proposed outcome categories against which to assess progress in advocacy efforts or lack thereof. And she had written that paper based on her own experiences during the transition from apartheid to democracy in South Africa. So we approached Barbara, and she was kind enough to write a brief note updating us on the developments since 2011 in the area of evaluating advocacy and movement building, specifically in SRHR. I think this is a very important paper, and many donors and evaluators will find this useful. Another paper I'll mention, and I'll stop there, although I can go on and on, is that we had a challenge in putting this issue together because very few people had researched the area and had material that they could write up into an article, but many were highly experienced. So we had to draw on experiential knowledge, and there was a roundtable organized by SRHM, a series, in fact, which brought together experienced donors, activists and advocates from across the globe, and those who have been on both sides of the table. They have been activists and were donors for a short time and have gone back to be activists. And their conversations that happened over two long sessions have been put together as a roundtable article. And I find this article really valuable because it makes concrete suggestions on what needs to happen in the donor world, as well as among activists, so that SRHR funding can better support advocacy efforts and movement building everywhere in the world. So just to say that this issue has also played around with different formats of articles, not just research and perspectives and so on.
The natural next question is then, where do we go from here? What do you believe are the next steps now that we have this evidence?
The point is, we have very limited evidence. So for me, the next step is making sure that there is much more evidence. For example, in this issue, we have only one donor voice, and we wanted a diversity of donor voices, those who fund mainstream projects, those who fund advocacy, movement building, alternative groups. And we tried very hard to get papers from diverse constituencies, from sex workers, the LGBTIQ movement, persons with disabilities, and people living with HIV, and their experiences in organizing and resourcing these. So the next steps are, in fact, appealing for and maybe being in some way instrumental or facilitating that kind of evidence building. I was also inspired by an interview we did with AVID, the Association for Women in Development, which is also an article in this issue. So we have an interview article besides a roundtable. This interview inspires the SRHR movement on work to be done to promote resource justice for SRHR advocacy. Because AVID has done a lot of work through its Resourcing Feminist Movements initiative. And it has built a solid evidence base on the donor funding ecosystem for gender equality. And they have developed a methodology which SRHR advocates can use for tracking donor funding for SRHR activists and advocacy groups in all their diversity. And that is just one of the ideas that you come away after reading the interview. There are many steps that they suggest for creating more opportunities for dialogue between donors and activists, between diverse constituencies of activists and advocates, so that together we become a force that gets adequate resources for a strong movement and challenge the many backlashes that we are facing today.
Sundari, thank you so much for your insights. Please check the show notes for a link to this issue of the SRHM Journal, which is available online and open access. You can also find a link to a webinar recorded with the authors of the published papers. Follow the SRHM Journal on social media or sign up for our newsletter to receive notifications for new research. Thank you for supporting the SRHM podcast, which is produced by our staff. The music was composed by Thibert Christian and Solomon Bouton.